Day four. Who's excited to go home? Some people. Okay, so we're on day four. Can we remember the titles of what we've done before? So first day was creation. Second day was covenant. Third day was, so what's today?
Renewal.
So your title today, renewal. If you've got your notebooks, write renewal at the top. It's on the board. It's on the screen, sorry. So you can spell it right. So we're on renewal. We've started on page one of our Bibles, and we're going to finish on page 833 in my Bible, or the last page of your Bible, okay? So if you want to turn there now, you can. We're not going to read just yet, but we're going to go to the very last page, okay? So we're going to start, we started right at the beginning. We're going to finish right at the end. But before we start reading from there, maybe you're kind of sat here this afternoon, you're going, how does this, all these things that we've talked about, how do they fit into my life? How do they go back to school with me? How do they go back to me being with my family? Maybe you're sat here thinking about all that God has done and all the joy of Letton and wondering how that fits in with your normal life. Maybe you kind of knelt at the front yesterday and you went, I want to surrender my life, but actually overnight you've been thinking, what does that actually look like next week when I'm at school? Maybe you're sat here today thinking, yesterday I wanted to give everything, but next week when I go back to school, that's going to be really, really, really difficult. I want to encourage you right at the beginning of this session that Jesus goes with you into school. Jesus goes with you into whatever you're doing next week. Jesus isn't just for Letton. Letton is amazing. God is present in powerful ways. But Jesus doesn't stay at Letton. He comes and lives in our hearts. He comes and lives in us. And so where we go, he comes with us. Letton isn't the only place that we get to meet with God. We can meet with God everywhere. In fact, my prayer for you all this week has been that when you hear something about the story of God, this will transform your whole life and it will make a difference outside of these four walls. My prayer is that throughout this week, we've been hearing about the story of God, and so our lives will look different. We will be transformed, we will be changed, and that's all of our lives, not just the bits that we want people to see. Yesterday, we talked about Jesus dying for us. It's easy to make them and to make relationships, those four relationships, right, to repair them. But this is absolutely 100% true. But it's easy to think, hold on a second, that's not actually happened yet. And you'd be right. It hasn't happened fully yet. But we are seeing glimpses. We are seeing people restored. We are seeing people healed. We are seeing relationships being rebuilt. We are seeing some healings, some miracles. We do have access to God, but we aren't yet walking in the garden with him again. There is some restoration, but there is still some yet to come. This is called the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. I think there's a slide. Maybe. It's called the now and the not yet. Maybe you want to write that down. Now and not yet. We're seeing some of these things now, but there are lots still to come. A good way of explaining this is like this. We are living, a common analogy for this tension is the distinction between D-Day and VE Day. So in World War II, there was a D-Day when the Allied forces, so the English and the others, or British and the others, arrived on the beaches and beat the Germans back that first time on those beaches. They landed back into France. Historians generally agree that that was basically when the war changed direction. From that point on, it was inevitable that the Allies were going to win the war. That happened on June the 6th, 1944. At that time, the Allied forces dealt a fatal blow to Germany that rendered its defeat inevitable. But it took a whole year for the Germans to surrender. That is VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. Between D-Day and VE Day, the victory the Allied forces had already won in principle was worked out to completion. There was lots of battles that happened along the way. There were lots of things that happened. But the victory was now. They'd won the big battle that was defining, but it wasn't quite complete. Jesus' death and resurrection is a bit like D-Day. It was the defining battle. Sin has been defeated and victory has been won. But there is still more to come. There is still more to be worked out. The battle is still raging and the enemy is still trying to take as many people out as possible. So now and not yet. So we're seeing some glimpses, but there's still more to come. But maybe as a follower of Jesus, you have been told that becoming a Christian or putting your trust in Jesus is like a golden ticket to heaven. One day, we'll just go up into the clouds and we'll spend our days wandering around the clouds with Jesus. Maybe you see faith as a ticket out of this world and to a better one. But this isn't quite what it's all about. This isn't quite what the Bible tells us. As we turn to the last page in your Bible, Revelation 21. Maybe it's not the last page on my Bible, it is. We're not quite right at the end, but we're near the end. Revelation 21. So start at the back and maybe turn one page back into your Bible, and we're going to read from verse 1. There'll be a title somewhere that says something like, A New Heaven and a New Earth. Yeah, we got there? Happy? Let's read. It says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. You see, God is making a new heaven and a new earth. It says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there is no longer any sea. When Jesus comes again, when the final battle has waged and the victory is complete, there will be no death. There will be no mourning, no crying, no pain. For the old order of things has passed away. The death of Jesus was the defining moment of God's rescue plan, but the final victory is yet to be worked out. We know that victory is won, but the battles are still raging. You see, there will be a day with no death, no crying, no pain, no mourning. There will be a day without illness. There will be a day without anxiety or depression. There will be a day without fear or despair. And this was the plan from the very beginning. You see, what renewal means is that what was broken when sin entered the world will be made new. What was broken will be made whole. But it isn't about returning to the Garden of Eden. It isn't about going back to that garden that we talked about in Genesis 1. Instead, it's about a new Jerusalem. I saw that holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. You see, our story on Monday started with God making a garden, a wild, untamed, rough around the edges garden, a garden that needed to be worked, a garden with heaps of potential, but a garden all the same. But at the end of the Bible, we see not a new garden, but a city, a beautiful city. You see, at the very beginning, the garden was never meant to be static. It was never meant to stay a garden. The plan was never for the garden to be all that there was. And the new creation isn't a return to a garden. It is the arrival of a city. You see, when God commanded Adam and Eve to rule over the earth, to work the ground, to do all the things that he commanded them to do at the very beginning, he was saying, make a city, build beautiful things, work the ground, make something beautiful with the things you have around me, make music, make art, make food, make buildings, teach children, design medicines, use financial systems, create political situations or environments. Take the things around you, the raw materials of the earth, and make something beautiful. Something that will help build the new creation. The city that is to come. How many of you have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? I'm assuming all of you. We could probably say it off by heart, but how often do we actually think about what the words mean? There's a line in there that says, your kingdom come, your will be done. What does that actually mean? Have we ever really truly wondered what that means? When we pray this prayer, what are we asking for? What are we saying, God, come and do? Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is the wallpaper on my laptop at work. Not this exact thing, but it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on it. Why? Because that is the prayer that I pray every morning when I get into work. That is what I long for. That is what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm praying for. More of God's kingdom on earth. So what does that look like for us? What does that look like in the environments that we find ourselves in? Maybe it looks like more justice. More freedom, the kingdom of God breaking in, less homeless people on the streets, people looking after each other at school. But how do we get there? How do we arrive at that point where God's kingdom is coming? Your will be done, or your kingdom come, your will be done. One of my favorite quotes of all time, I'll read to you now. And then the last bit that I think you should write down is going to come up on the screen. But it says, the church's approach to an intelligent carpenter is usually confined to exhorting him not to be drunk and disorderly in his leisure hours and to come to church on Sundays. What the church should be telling him is this, that the very first demand that his religion makes upon him is that he should make good tables. The first call of followers of Jesus in the world today is to make good tables. And I don't mean that in terms of making actual tables. What I mean by that is if you're a carpenter, make good tables. If you're a school teacher, teach the children as best as you can. If you're a doctor, look after every single person like you're looking after Jesus. You see, sometimes it's easy to think that our work, the things that we're doing right now, are irrelevant. They don't really matter, and no one really cares, because at some point, they're all just going to be rubbish, because we're all going to disappear into the clouds. But let me tell you, without pressure and with no stress attached to this statement, that the things that you do right now will matter for eternity. They matter. They make a difference. I genuinely believe that the things that we do on earth will come and be part of what this new creation looks like. You see, my dad is an architect. He spent many years designing buildings. He's designed a few train stations, tunnels, and he's currently working on a massive building in London, which I can't tell you because it's a secret. Ooh. But I believe that, genuinely believe that one day he will be designing buildings in the new creation. I think that's what it's about. That's what it's saying. Not that the buildings that he's designed here on earth will come with us, but that the things that he's passionate about, the things that he's worked towards his whole life, will become part of what it means to live in this new creation. The work he's doing here matters because he is preparing him for what's to come. It's getting him ready for the day where he'll be designing buildings in the new creation. You see, this isn't about escaping and disappearing into the clouds. So whatever you're doing, whatever you hope to do in the future, whatever you're doing at school right now, see it as an opportunity to prepare for the kingdom, for the new creation. And I don't just mean building buildings. I mean, if you love art, spend time making beautiful art. If you love music, do the same. Make beautiful music. If you care about finances and maths and all those things, work at it because we need you to do those things amazingly. If you love politics, it's about making a better political world. Teaching, raising the next generation. Writing, producing literature, things that we will read. When our perspective changes, when we think about things like that, suddenly everything changes and our perspective and the motivation for what we do changes. Christopher Wren, the architect commissioned to rebuild St. Paul's Cathedral in London after the Great Fire of 1666, said this. 5 years into the massive project, he stopped to pose a simple question to three bricklayers. "What are you doing?" he asked them. The first replied, "I'm a bricklayer, working hard to feed my family." The second offered, "I'm a builder, I am building the walls of a church." The third answered, "I am a cathedral builder. I am part of building a kingdom." Their physical task was exactly the same, but their perspective was very different. What is your perspective on the work that you do? Are you building for the kingdom or simply laying bricks? We have an opportunity to look ahead, to get excited for what is coming. And renewal is coming. There will be a day where all things are made new. And we will join God in the new creation. So let's look forward to that day with hope. And let's pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, as amazing and as wonderful as Letton is, this isn't somewhere that we can stay forever, sadly. Sorry, Sam, we can't stay forever. God, but also, as amazing and wonderful as Letton is, God also doesn't just stay here. This week has been fantastic. We've had the best time. And there's been so much to think about, to pray about, to enjoy. But this isn't all there is. Without trying to sound sad or make you sad, school isn't like Letton. Life isn't like Letton. And figuring out how to live for Jesus outside of this environment is tricky. It's very difficult. I know I find it difficult. I know I find it hard when I have to go back to my hockey club and talk about what I do on Sunday mornings. Or what I do for my job. That's hard. That's difficult. But let me encourage you as we're about to get on the coach this afternoon and head home, that God is going to go with you. You see, God is not just at Letton, he's also in your maths classroom and your bedroom and the corridors at school. He doesn't leave you. We've spoken a little bit about promises this week. And in Hebrews 13, it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He goes with you. So what does that look like? What does it look like for you to ask for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in your classrooms, at school, with your friends? I think it starts with knowing that God is with you and trusting that as you seek to live for him in school or work, that he is right beside you every step of the way. Because as we grasp and understand what this means for ourselves, our lives will look different. And we will begin to see God's kingdom breaking into our schools and our workplaces. And we'll see the lives of those around us transformed because of how we live and who we live for. This week we started right at the beginning. We talked about creation and how God made everything good. We talked about the fact that things went wrong. We made decisions to go against God. And there were some relationships that were broken along the way. But then we spoke about a God who comes to find us and who makes promises to save us. And then we spoke about the fulfillment of that promise, that Jesus, God's only Son, came to earth to die for us, for you and for me, so that we can have a right relationship with him. And now we're talking about what it looks like to live in the new creation, to live differently because of what God has done for us.